Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you on board. In fact, we look forward to this broadcast each day that we can entertain your questions, comments, your dialogue, and discussion as we face the issues. We're going to be asking the question today, what if the government is wrong? What if they're wrong about how they have treated the coronavirus? What if they're wrong about their analysis of the cause and effect? What if they're wrong about the shutdown? What if they're wrong about the evisceration of our Bill of Rights? And on we'll go as we look at this broadcast today. May I remind you that you need to be attentive to what we're going to say. You need to understand what I'm calling the cause and effect, the motives and the modus operandi of what is taking place in America today. We're changing America indelibly so. It is a tectonic shift that shall not go back to normal, regardless of what these politicians may think or say or that you may believe. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we invite you to call in. Love to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your call gets you directly through the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions or comments. I'd love to hear from you. Love to understand where you are and what you're thinking. Do you believe that this is something that is needful and necessary? Should churches be closed? Should we expect churches to be burned simply because we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in today's society? And as we face the issues, we do so, ladies and gentlemen, based on the authority of the Scripture. It was Jesus that said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus identifies that truth. He says, I am truth, in John 14:6. And then he further elaborates, if you will, when he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that we need to depend on. It's the truth of the Word of God that we need to seek. It's the truth of the Word of God that we need to use in responding to the issues of the day. And it is unfortunate but true that so often today, truth is not adhered to, truth is not sought after. And those that speak the truth are not viewed in the light of integrity. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we have watched this looming today, especially out of the Beltway in Washington, where you find Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and others that are trying to force the change of America from a constitutional republic to standing up the shadow government, which is a socialist, Marxist, communist governmental system. That's what they're after. But it's a 15th century church theologian at Theologian and Church Reformer, Jan Hus, that made this remarkable, astounding, very good statement that I believe is applicable even today. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I commend that to each and every one of you as our listeners today, that you seek the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and stand for the truth, even if you have to stand alone, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we're coming to the day and time when, as Christians, we'll have to stand alone as we stand on the truth of the Word of God. And let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. They also have a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about landscape power equipment as well as the power backup equipment for hurricane preparedness. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the base, right at the base of the gigantic flag where the U.S. flag is flowing 24/7. Tools for Time. Tools for Time.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this by way of introductory remarks before we get into our monologue and then accept some telephone calls and respond to your questions and comments. You'll recall that Jesus said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." He made that statement in John 15:18. And then in the 20th verse, Jesus continues by saying, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And then the Apostle Paul reminds us, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's in 2 Timothy 3:12. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today. We're facing persecution. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, our nation is divided today as never seen in my lifetime. We're a divided nation, and it's the coronavirus that's divided us. Not just the virus that's divided, but it's as a result of the draconian rules and regulations put in place by the wannabe tyrants that have fully disregarded our Bill of Rights. Everything you find in our Bill of Rights, ladies and gentlemen, has been cast aside. It's been viewed as naught and put to rest. And our governors and mayors across America, for the most part, have decided that it is simply not sufficient to have the churches open. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the stimulus for those hating God today and hating the church today and hating Christians today and being vindictive to the churches and to the Christians in America today is as a result of what has taken place with the way the rules and the regulations have been activated by the socialist, Marxist, communists that are in charge of so many of our blue cities and blue states. In America, if you don't know what I'm talking about, blue cities and blue states, I'm talking about those that are guided and directed and controlled and have the oversight of by the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats. In fact, you can go across the map of the United States and America and find those that are most restrictive on the churches are those in that are ruled and governed by the socialist, Marxist, communist Democratic mayors and governors. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is the stimulus for hating God and hating his church is because the churches have been deemed as being non-essential. And yet liquor stores and pot shops and grocery stores and Walmarts and Lowe's and Home Depot and abortion clinics have all been considered essential. Now, hate for the Christian church has come to a boiling point in America. There are those that are mocking churches and making fun of Christians and literally retaliating against churches because the pastors have continued to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and refuse to bow and bend to the socialist, Marxist, communist in our nation that's attacking the church by saying the churches are non-essential. Listen, if a liquor store is essential, certainly a church could be. If at Walmart you can pack in 300 or 400 people, what's wrong with having a few people, a few dozen, a few hundred people in a church? If Walmarts can be open and these other major big box stores can be open and they are supposedly practicing social distancing, I've been in all of them. I don't see any social distance practicing in any of them, but yet that's mandated, required, or you'll be ticketed or fined or handcuffed and put in jail if you're the pastor of a church that feels that you need to carry out your responsibilities of the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel. And that's exactly what we see taking place. In fact, the latest event of that is in Louisiana. That continues to be a major, major story in that regard. But in Louisiana, for example, a pastor has been ticketed 25 times, placed on house arrest, simply for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, holding his services. Although this article says, although the Attorney General William Barr and the Department of Justice have warned states to be wary of violating religious liberties amid draconian state lockdown orders during the coronavirus pandemic, one pastor has nonetheless found himself on house arrest as a result of violating the state orders not to hold church services. Since the busing incident, Spell, that is Pastor Spell, has received 25 citations and has been arrested three times for holding religious services. He now finds himself on house arrest. Quote, I'm on my 25th citation today, he said, Thursday, according to Life News, adding the animals have been treated better than authorities have treated him, as he has described how he's been forced to wear an ankle bracelet in his home for 13 days to stop him from holding religious services. I'm under house arrest, he said. When I cross the threshold of my door, I'm a fugitive from justice. Pastor Spell asserts that his inalienable rights to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to his church are not given to him by any person other than God himself. He goes on to say in this article, Pastor Spell went on to say that he believes in an anti-God government stance to tell a man that he cannot go to church and preach, and says he believes that governors and authorities have overstepped their bounds in telling pastors they cannot preach or that churches, people cannot go to church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we're seeing with the spewing of hatred and animus and animosity and a total disregard for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the day and era in which we're living. In fact, Matt Staver of Liberty Council has dealt with this now for months and months and months in relationship to what is happening to the churches. Matt Staver says in his latest newsletter, when we hear of someone receiving a disorderly conduct citation, we typically think of the wild parties, violent shouting matches, and push and shoving. But in all my years of ministry and legal service, I never imagined that attending a worship service at a Baptist church could be seen as disorderly conduct. Yet, Governor J.B. Pritzker, lockdown state of Illinois, acts of solemn worship have been deemed a crime. And our client, Logos Baptist Ministries, was on the receiving end, and not one but two disorderly conduct citations for opening the church for preaching peaceful worship services and having devout prayer. It is Governor Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot want to criminalize church attendance while expanding the mass surveillance programs that they have in place. And it goes on with a major, major article, ladies and gentlemen, of what is taking place in America with the churches being repressed and persecuted and prosecuted for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's reached the point, ladies and gentlemen, where churches are being fined and prosecuted more than I would have ever dreamed possible in my lifetime. Here's an article that says, Chicago fines churches for holding services in violation of statewide lockdown orders. Chicago has been fining churches for holding services that do not comply with the Democratic governor, J.B. Pritzker, at his stay-at-home order, and Chicago Police Department telling Fox News that three churches will be hit with penalties for services held on May the 17th. And he goes on to talk about the different churches that they are, quote, hitting with fines. It seems as though it's a sense of rejoicing that they can publicize what they're doing to the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, all of this furor about churches and churches being non-essential across America, as stated by these liberal left-wing socialist Marxist governors and mayors, it has reached the crescendo. It has caused an arrogance that I would have never dreamed possible, even to the point where a church has just been burned in Mississippi, just simply because of holding worship services. This article's headlined, I don't know if you watched it on the news late evening or last night, early morning. This says Mississippi church destroyed by arson was suing the city over safer at home order. Holly Springs, Mississippi. A Mississippi church at the center of the arson investigation is the same church currently in a battle with the city leaders over COVID-19 stay-at-home order. First Pentecostal Church in Holly Springs was destroyed by what investigators believe is an arsonist. Investigators found graffiti on the pavement in the church parking lot that reads, "Bet you stay at home now, you hypocrites." They couldn't even spell hypocrites right, ladies and gentlemen. But that was what was written on the parking lot. This article says, we've racked our brains and we have no idea, the pastor said, no enemies that we know of. We don't know anyone that would even think that we think could be capable of doing such a thing. The fire comes after the Waldorf fire filed. Pastor Waldorf filed a lawsuit in April against the city of Holly Springs. The 14-page document claims local police officers disturbed or disrupted a midweek Bible study and the church's Easter service 10 days prior. Ladies and gentlemen, the police there in that community literally went into a live, active worship service and stopped the services and ticketed the pastor. This article goes on to say, the complaint also asked for a temporary restraining order to keep the city from preventing services inside their own church building. The issue stems from the Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves' inclusion of churches with essential businesses in the state's stay-at-home order, but the city of Holly Springs did not include it. Holly Springs City Attorney Shirley Byers says they did not consider churches essential because business in the stay-at-home order of March the 23rd of this year. The mayor said the incident April the 10th, about 35 or 40 congregants were inside the First Pentecostal Church and were not practicing social distance, which is what led to the citation and violation of the local emergency order. Ladies and gentlemen, entering any law enforcement agency or any person that enters a worship service during the course of the worship service is violating a valuable, viable constitutional privilege that churches have. And for them to do that, and then the dear pastor filed suit against the city, which is what he should have done, and then to have some vandal, some agnostic atheist or God hater that burned the church down is the epitome of what we're seeing today with the divisiveness in our nation as a result of what the government is. What if the government's wrong in the decision they made? What if the government is wrong in relationship to the shutdown order? What if the government is wrong in relationship to treating churches as non-essentials? What do we do? How do we go back? How do we put the spilt milk back into the bottle? It can't be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I wanted to say that you're giving us this good information about this church in Mississippi that was burned because it was standing for the Lord. It reminds me that as the days get more toward the Lord coming back, the division between light and dark will become more apparent to many people. Ayn Rand, in her book, wrote, quote, "We are fast approaching the stage of the ultimate inversion, the stage where the government is free to do anything it pleases, while the citizens may act only by permission, which is the stage of the darkest periods of human history, the stage of rule by brute force." And I want to mention to you, Dr. Youngblood, and to all of your listeners, that we, the people, need to reacquire our situational awareness. We need to reacquire and focus on observation of what is going on and be willing to listen to people who are situationally aware, like you and others, who bring us good information daily by your Herculean efforts to wake us up, that we need to pay attention to this. We need to listen with our ears on and listen with our hearts and not just with our head. I attended a deacon's meeting at a Southern Baptist church last night where we are, quote unquote, talking about opening back up. And they discussed social distancing and they discussed this and that and the other and requiring everyone to wear masks on their faces and et cetera, ad infinitum. And it reminded me of someone who could not decide whether they were going to follow God or follow government. And I believe it's true that God has ordained the home, the church, and government. And we are in a situation now, and I believe that you would agree, where we are in tension between the government and the church. The government has gone way too far, and you are practicing today, as you do every day with your radio program, a modern version of the black-robed regiment, where you are giving information, where you are giving information to people. You are causing them to stand up and to wake up. And I want to say to your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, that they need to pay attention to what you have to say. They need to do small things educationally, physically, with training. We need to lose weight. We need to take up our martial arts again. We need to get proficient with our weaponry again. We need to watch what we eat, what we say. I found out recently that the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, I believe that you'll agree with me, he said what the Father gave him to say, and he did what the Father gave him to do. And that is what we are to do. So God bless you, and thank you.
We're to be busy about the Father's business, there's no question about it. And you're exactly spot on with what you're saying in relationship to what we need to do. We need to be attentive of the mindset, the motive, and the modus operandi that's being used by the governments, and that is not just the federal, but local and state governments also, as to what they're doing and the mindset behind it. We need to recognize that God has given us the human rights that's given to us by God, the civil rights that we find in our Constitution, and it's to be carried out by we the people. And we are not to be the subject, but we are the ones that are responsible for the governance over us. But I think we've gotten to the point in America today where the government has gotten the people so petrified and frightened that they're hiding under the bed and hiding in the closet. And just as you spoke of your deacons meeting, where they're basically saying, may we open up? And I would suggest in the meeting that, say, well, why don't we just call the governor and say, will you give us permission rather than God? Will you give us permission to open the church and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is absolutely totally contrary to what the scripture says that we ought to do. But thank you so much for your insight and for your call, your words of encouragement today, and God bless you. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I've been listening to you, and I understand what you're saying and trying to do. Have you got a Bible there in front of you?
I do.
Could you read Romans 13:1?
What's your
question? Explain it to me. Well, if you'll read Romans 13:1, that would be the question.
The Romans 13:1, you're talking about civil government that God has given us. And in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. So what's your question with that?
Well, it's not so much a question. Shouldn't we follow that, though, if we're to obey God?
What is the higher power of God? Keep in mind in the text of Romans 13:1-7, it is talking about God is the one that's given government. God's given government to be a servant to God. And if you have a government that, is not servant to God, then there is a major, major problem with their orders and rules and regulations. If you read the balance of that unit of thought in Romans 13:1-7, where it's talking about government, government is to protect the good and to prosecute the evil. What we're seeing today is the inversion of that, where the churches, which is God's agents on earth, being prosecuted and persecuted, and liquor stores are open, abortion is being carried out, murder is being carried out, murderers are being released from prison, and preachers are being put in prison. So do you see that any conflict with that at all?
Well, I was reading in 2 Peter also, it says, obey every ordinance of man, for this is the will of God. It's Peter 13:14. It's in direct contrast to what you're talking about.
Let me ask you a question. What makes a law? What makes a law?
Well, God made the first laws, and Jesus
carried
them out.
No. I'm talking about human law. You're saying that we ought to bow and bend to government. You go back to Daniel, he refused to bow when they said you can't pray to any god but to the governor of that era. Daniel disobeyed that. He was thrown in the lion's den. God protected him. You find the midwives in Exodus chapter 1 where the government had said killed the boy babies. They refused to do so. God honored them and even gave them homes as a result of their obeying God. You find that Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. So what you're saying is that any willy-nilly eat it out of a governor's or mayor's hands, we ought to bow to it. A law is not a law until it goes through the bill process where the bill is debated and it is passed by a vote and then signed by the governor. That becomes a law. Otherwise, it's not a law. Judge Neapolitano said these are just rules and regulations by wannabe tyrants that ought not to be obeyed because they're unconstitutional. So are you telling me that if the government says that we need to start slaughtering the boy babies, that we ought to do that? If the government says we ought to start closing all churches, ought we obey that? If the government says that it's not legal to preach out on the street corner, should we obey that? Are you simply saying that any rule and regulation that a wannabe tyrant gives us, that Christians are to obey to it? Paul didn't know anything about that in the New Testament. In fact, when he was beaten and thrown in prison, then they wanted to release him out of the back door. He said, no, you've done this publicly. You're going to apologize to me and release me publicly. I think you have a great misunderstanding of God's creation of government, what government is for. It is to prosecute evil and to protect good. And I believe we need to go back to a biblical concept of what was found in the New Testament church and where we stand and not misunderstand God's direction. In fact, when you read the balance of Romans chapter 1, verse 13, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, you see that we ought to render to Caesar what's Caesar's and render to God what's God's. What is God's? God's, what we render to God is our heart, our soul, our all, our worship, our praise, and our honor, and our thanksgiving. We need to render that to God, and we ought not to render that to government. It is government is not to be worshipped. But I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. I believe we have another call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood.
Hello. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, yes, sir. I don't really have so much of a question, but just kind of a way to vent. I mean, I'm 60 years old. I'm going to be evicted at the end of the month because I didn't pay months the rent from May. I'm 60 years old, and I'm going to be homeless. I'm disabled, and they're going to put me on the street. And it's by a property management company that's run by women, and they pretty much told me they're going to do what they want. I mean, my lease expired March 31st, but they closed their doors. When I went down there to redo my lease, they were closed, and they said, well, just tough shit, you know, it's...
Let me be brief with you. I'm very, very, very sorry to hear of your situation. I would recommend that you pick up the phone and call the Legal Social Services and ask them to intercede, because especially now what has already been said by the government and its officials, that landlords are foreclosed with the possibility of eviction during the days of coronavirus. So I'd recommend that you approach it on that basis and realize that there are remedies in the law for you in this circumstance. We'll be praying for you, and I appreciate you calling and letting us know of that condition. And I invite our listeners to be praying for you, that God give you wisdom and that God will provide the door to protect you in these days. But thank you so much for your call today. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what if government is wrong? What if the government's wrong in what they've done and their position? What if government's wrong in the rules and the regulations that they've set forth in the populace today? We're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. We're coming back with the question today, ladies and gentlemen. What if the government is wrong in what they're doing? We're going to trickle down to the point of talking about who does this benefit most? Who are the beneficiaries of this lockdown, this shutdown, and the violation of our civil rights and our human rights and our Bill of Rights? And so hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news. Thank you.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.